Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer, thanks so much for coming in. It's great to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So obviously the Asheville District's bill passed yesterday. It's now law. What are your initial thoughts after the passage of the bill?
Well, this has been a really long process getting to this point, but throughout the entire process, the City Council has been unified in opposing this legislation. And we continue to oppose the legislation now that it's finally law. That doesn't change our position.
The immediate question now is what's next? I assume that the city could go the litigation route, or they could start in implementing the law. I'm sure you haven't had a chance yet to consult with the entire City Council yet, but where do you think you may be going?
Well, we'll need to discuss that at our next City Council meeting, which is not until July 25th. So we'll probably spend some time with our attorney in closed session discussing what our options are and let her explain to us what our options are. One of the troubling things about this legislation, you know, aside from Raleigh mandating what we should do here in Asheville yet again, is that it requires the city to draw six districts, six single member districts across the city by November 1. What the City Council has been working on, and we've already had two of the three required meetings under the statute, is to hold a referendum and let the voters decide whether or not they want this legislation, whether or not they want this concept of having six districts for City Council. And that vote is not until November 7th. And the legislature knew that. Representative Susan Fisher ran an amendment on the floor to amend the bill to require that the referendum that we have here in Asheville on November 7th be binding. If the voters approve districts, then we'll have districts. If they don't, then we won't. And the vote in the House failed. The legislature rejected that idea. And I commend Representative Fisher and Representative Ager. They worked really hard to try to make the bill better. And in the end, opposed it. They spent a lot of time getting themselves ready for that. I was able to have a lot of discussion with them. That amendment failed. So the question is, you know, what are we going to do with this situation where we're required to draw districts by November 1, but the voters aren't voting until November 7th?
I'll just sort of paraphrase what Michael Speciale said, one of the representatives who said that essentially, the referendum basically gives voters a choice of whether or not they want to do this. And he said, well, the General Assembly has already made it known that we want the city of Asheville to do this, and we have that authority. How would you respond to that? Is he right about that?
You know, I listened to his speech on the floor of the House, and it was quite puzzling to me because he was trying to make the argument that this legislation was fair, because we got to draw the districts, but the choice about whether or not to have districts had already been made for us.
Right.
So that was a little bit perplexing to me, and I didn't quite follow the logic. It would be fair to me if the voters of Asheville could decide whether or not they want districts.
I see. Okay. And then another argument that was made by the bill sponsor, Chuck Edwards, he was essentially saying that the city was not acting in good faith on moving forward on this. He said that they've been trying to slow the process down as much as possible, maybe not even do it if they don't have to, that kind of thing. Has the city, have you and the City Council been acting in good faith to try to push this issue forward?
Well, we're moving forward with a referendum, so I would say yes. Mm-hmm. So state law already allows all cities in North Carolina to decide whether or not they want districts. That's been law for quite some time. And there's a process you have to follow if you want to put that issue before the voters. And it requires three meetings of council where you do something different at each meeting, but following the required steps in the state law. We have already had two of those three required meetings. We had the second this week. And then the third will happen on July 25th. So I would take issue with his description of us not proceeding in good faith, because I think we are, quite clearly. We have taken two of the three required steps and intend to take the third to be able to put the issue before the voters. I'm not sure how you could argue we're slow walking it. I mean, the fastest you can do this is the November election. I'm not aware that you can hold a special election for it. So we're doing it as quickly as possible.
Okay. And I know that Edwards had wanted you not to move forward with polling and with a referendum. And what was his reasoning for that?
And I've met with Senator Edwards and discussed this with him. He was opposed to the polling and he is opposed to the referendum. His argument is that if you are trying to elevate the voice of a minority, then the majority quite obviously may squash it. And I think that that argument is compelling when you're talking about minority voices. I mean, typically where you'd hear that argument is where you have an African-American population, say, in a city that isn't large enough to swing a citywide election, but would be better represented on a city council through districts. And so to allow the whole city to vote on an issue of whether or not there are districts to elevate a minority voice might not result in something that is fair. So he I think would, not to make his argument for him here, but I think he would say that the same applies here, that he's trying to elevate the voice of South Asheville and the rest of the city may use its muscle to squash that voice.
And I know a lot of people have thought that when we're talking about South Asheville, what we're actually talking about is Republicans. When we're talking about a minority voice, Scott Stone, a Mecklenburg County Republican, had said on the House floor that the city council of Asheville has 6 Democrats, 0 Republicans. So he actually brought up the partisan issue. And to be fair, I don't believe that the bill sponsors have said anything about Republican, Democrat. What do you think about that?
Well, there's a lot of different talking points around this bill, depending on where you fall on it. That's correct. I have not heard Senator Edwards talk about Republican versus Democrat. He is careful to talk about geographical representation. But, you know, as you heard that House member talk about the issues, he I think behind the scenes, it's been clearly explained to legislators that this is to try to enable at least one Republican to be able to be elected to the city council.
What did you think of Brian Turner's amendment to create the independent commission?
Well, you know, if we have to draw districts, I do favor the use of an independent commission. I've been pretty vocal about that for some time. You know, I myself have been involved in redistricting as an attorney to the state legislature back in 2000. I was on the House side working on legislative redistricting for the legislative seats, congressional seats. So I'm very familiar with the political process involved in redistricting, and as a result, I feel pretty strongly about an independent commission.
Do you think the rest of the city council feels the same way, or do you know, have you talked to them about that?
Oh, yeah, we've discussed this several times now in open session at city council, and there is support for an independent commission.
Okay, and I know that Brian Turner wrote on his website that he would push for the city of Asheville to lead by example for the rest of the state. And I believe that's why the GOP was worried that they were on record as supporting an independent commission for the first time, I guess. So he was hoping that the city could actually lead in that effort and maybe be an example for the rest of the state. Do you think that's something that could occur?
It's funny that you should ask this. So I do think so, that the city could lead the state in terms of using an independent commission to draw districts, if in fact we end up having to draw districts. It's interesting. I was talking with our city attorney and I asked her to reach out to the school government at UNC Chapel Hill, which advises cities on lots of different city issues. And I said to her, you know, surely of all the cities in North Carolina that have districts already, someone has used an independent commission already to do this. This can't be the first time. And she reached out to them and they said no.
Oh, they didn't know
of any city that had done this. So, you know, I went online and did a Google search and found outside of North Carolina, there are cities that have used an independent commission. Austin, Texas is an example of one. And so they have a whole process. There are some other cities that have done it. So it's not going to be the first time a city's ever used that process, but maybe the first time in North Carolina.
I see. Okay.
That may be a possibility. So, you know, that's kind of exciting. And I realize that I think there's two issues going on with that provision. One is political. One is the fact that we got an overwhelming majority of the House members to vote in support of something new, an independent commission. And that's been an issue percolating at the legislature for quite some time. So there may have been some folks saying, uh-oh, you know, now am I going to have to answer why we don't have an independent commission drawing legislative districts, congressional districts? But I also think there may have been some legal concerns with members concerned that this may create some exposure for the bill from a legal challenge standpoint, because it singled Asheville out and required Asheville to use a independent commission. So that's different than how all the other cities in North Carolina that use these statutory provisions are treated. And we have a recent decision out of the federal courts in North Carolina striking down a redistricting bill in Greensboro that sought to treat Greensboro differently than every other city in the state. In that case, it dealt with taking away their right of referendum. So anyway, there's, you know, for all the elections law lawyers, this is a great time.
Yeah. So from your perspective, we've got two issues, basically. It's whether to have referendums, which you believe that the city of Asheville's residents should be able to decide. And then also, if we do have to draw districts, you would be in favor of an independent commission to draw those lines.
Right. So and just to clarify, the bill and its how it finally ended up allows us that option, which we were going to do anyway, because it appears to be an option
for
cities.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other option would have been that the city council could have drawn the maps themselves.
And that is how cities with districts do it in North Carolina. The council draws the districts themselves and adopts them themselves.
Okay. And as Brian Turner said on the floor, that he believed that was an inherent conflict of interest.
And they should know, since they're involved in the same the same sort of process.
Right, indeed.
He in the minority party, so he doesn't get to draw the districts. But yes, he's watching that happen.
What do you think about the relationship between Asheville and Raleigh? I mean, it seems to be contentious from my perspective. From the words of Senator Edwards on the floor, he seemed to, you know, there was some quotes that he said, I kind of sarcastically commend the city of Asheville. There seemed to be a hostility there. This is our neighbor. He's in Hendersonville, and he represents part of South Asheville. How do we bridge that divide? And do you think there is a bridge that needs to be divided there?
You know, look, my philosophy about bitter partisanship is that it's ineffective. And so I don't believe in no communication. So I have spoken with Senator Edwards several times. I have spoken with Representative Chuck McGrady several times. And I have met with a leadership in Henderson County and Hendersonville. So I always continue to try to make sure those lines of communication are open and that we're able to have a civil conversation when needed. You know, if you can say anything about this whole process, it's that everyone was at least respectful for the most part. And even though we, you know, vehemently disagree about an issue, and I think there needs to be room for that, that we can strongly disagree, but be civil. And I think that is the only way I know how to continue to maintain any kind of relationship at all with Raleigh while we're, you know, dealing with attack after attack, not just on Asheville, but cities in general. Mm-hmm. So that is a tension that has not gone away in North Carolina, and it continues to, I wouldn't say that it's growing, it's somewhat stagnant. But there have been a few glimmers of hope to me. You know, there has been some legislation passed that affects cities that is less damaging than its earlier form. Mm. So I think that we're just going to need to continue to have that dialogue. But until the Democrats are able to win enough seats to be able to support a veto, it's going to be hard to get everyone around the table to have a conversation.
And so if the city of Asheville does file a lawsuit and take this to court, it won't be the first time that the city of Asheville has gone to court with the legislature. Just talk about your recent experience with that, I guess.
Well, I have the battle scars. our legislative delegation has the battle scars. But, you know, we face legislation to take our water system, of course, as a lot of people know. And we actually held a referendum, and we could only make it a non-binding referendum, but we held a referendum then so that we could demonstrate to the courts, as we were challenging that legislation, that the citizens of Asheville did not support the taking of our water system. And the citizens of Asheville came out overwhelmingly against that legislation, which was very helpful. You know, we had to go all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court, and it was quite a nail biter because we did not at that time have a majority Democrat control in the North Carolina Supreme Court. So we, you know, we really weren't sure if we were going to see a political decision or if we were going to see a decision on the law. And luckily we saw a 5-2 decision on the law, and the North Carolina Supreme Court did the right thing. And in fact, a lot of the legislation coming out of Raleigh, not just affecting Asheville, but affecting other places and other issues, redistricting being one of them, has been struck down. Hmm. So it's a waste of a lot of people's time to go through this exercise, but at least the courts in North Carolina, for the most part, have operated to be where the buck stops, and they've been able to sort of right some of the wrongs that have happened.